The scripture reading today will be from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you and who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other.
Because of our present circumstances, it seems good this morning for us to pause a bit from other discussions and talk about the relationships between elders and members. Two of our elders have recently retired in a very honorable way, that retirement coming because of health problems. Our present eight elders are leading us as a congregation in seeking out other men to serve and additional men to serve as deacons. Because of that, it seems appropriate to me for us to think about some of these things. In fact, last Sunday morning, we talked about the importance of the right kind of organization as we studied the advice that Jethro gave to Moses and how the early church acted in looking at a need in Acts 6. Next Sunday morning, I want to bring a lesson on the subject of God's deacons. And sometime during the month of April, I plan to bring a lesson on the subject of every joint supplying that will deal more with the work of the members in detail and the work of each individual member. But this morning, we're concentrating on these two verses in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. I would encourage you to turn your Bible there. And after having done that, I want you to listen as I read three or four other passages that I think will help us to discuss these two verses in 1 Thessalonians 5 in a better way. In Acts 20 at verse 28, Paul, speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Over in the book of Hebrews at chapter 13, verse 7 and then verse 17. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation," or conduct. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the first 5 verses, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Now, having read those passages, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 5. "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." I honestly believe that contained in these two verses are the basic guidelines for elder-member relationships, or elders and members in their different relationships in the work of the church. There cannot be leadership unless there is followship. It is impossible for elders to do their work successfully in leading unless there is the right attitude of those who follow. Understanding what is said in these two verses will help us to understand the work of the elders and our relationship to them. Notice first four things that are said about the work of the elders in these verses. First, concentrate on the word labor. He says, "Brethren, I want you to have the right attitude toward them that labor." And he finishes the sentence with words that we shall notice in a moment. There is a degree of honor associated with being an elder in the Lord's church, and especially completing one's service as an elder in the Lord's church. Recently, as Brother Bulner and Brother Averett retired as elders because of health reasons, we mentioned that they had served in a way that caused us to be able to honor them for their work and to honor them at the time of their retirement. And there is a degree of honor that is associated with the work. But folks, the work of elders is a work. There is labor involved. And it is not the honor that is being sought by those who accept the responsibility of participating in the leadership of a group of God's people. I think most of us do not really appreciate how much time and effort go into the making of a good elder. Every Sunday afternoon at 4:30, unless there is a real reason for not meeting, our elders meet here and talk about the work and discuss things that need to be done and how they can be better leaders of the church. 2 weeks ago yesterday, the elders met for over 4 hours on a Saturday to discuss especially what we need to do at this particular time as we look at new facilities that will be available, as we look at the selection process of additional elders and deacons. And a special part of that meeting was to look at ways that we can involve more people and especially have the right kind of understanding of with our deacons as to what their responsibilities are and how their work is to be carried out. Now you think about the time that is put into the work by those who are our elders. And there's hardly a week goes by but that one or more of them are involved, even with me personally, in talking about different things and making certain visits and contacts that need to be made. And I'd like to go off on a tangent just a moment here, although it's really not a tangent. The wives of our elders, and in cases where there are still children at home, make many sacrifices in order for these men to serve as elders in the Lord's church. There may be times that it would be nice for dad and the husband to be at home when there is a necessity for him to be involved with the other elders in the work of the church. It is so important for the wives of elders to be the kind of people that are described in God's word, and we have so much here for which to be thankful. This week, as Judy and I were driving and talking about the work of the church, she made the comment about the ladies that are wives of our elders and how you can always count on them to be there when they're needed, when there are activities that involve our ladies and ways for ladies to serve, how our elders' wives can be counted on to be there. There's just a lot of time and effort. And there is a degree of sacrifice involved when a man accepts the responsibility of being a part of an eldership and seriously accepts that in a local congregation. And when a congregation is the size of a congregation that we have here, the demands for time and effort are even greater. We need to appreciate the labor that is done by our elders. Notice a second word here that is important in understanding the relationships that we have, and it's the word among. He says you are to know those that labor among you. Folks, the eldership is not a board of directors that's appointed to set up somewhere on a pedestal and make decisions and hand those decisions down to the congregation. That's not the idea that is presented in the Word of God. They have the responsibility to make decisions, and those decisions need to be respected by the congregation, as we shall notice more in a few minutes. But a successful eldership is going to be among the people. In fact, I think if you'll even study the life of Christ, you see this element involved in his life. He was there with the people. He was associated with the people. And the elders that lead in the best way are those that lead among the people. They're with the people in many different areas of work. They're involved in every way that they can. They are associated with the people, not up above them. They are above in the sense that this is probably the greatest responsibility that anyone could ever have. I think it was James A. Garfield who said when he resigned as an elder in the church to become president of the United States that he was stepping down to become president, and I think he had the right idea. In that sense, there's the leadership that's over us, but not above us in that idea of being up there somewhere away from us. The elders are among us. And that's the only way that there can be successful leadership according to God's word. And then he says, these are the ones that are over you. At least two of the other passages that we read a few minutes ago use the word oversight. I am aware that there is the point in 1 Peter 5 that the elders are to be examples or ensamples. And I think that almost goes without saying. But the idea that some are now presenting is an abuse of that scripture. When it is suggested that our elders have no authority within the church, within the congregation, that they're only to lead by ensample or example. They are to lead by example, and we would expect that. But they are to lead with oversight. God's word says that. And also in these passages that we read, we saw the word rule. Now there is the admonition given that they're not to be lords over the flock. They're not to try to run over the flock in the sense of using authority in a bad way. That's true. But the same word that is used with the ruling of the elders is the word that is used in the qualification for an elder that has to do with his family, one that ruleth his family well. And it might just be that the lack of discipline in the family is affecting the lack of discipline in the church. And the idea that some have in the family that there's no line of authority may be having its effect in the work of the church. But be that as it may, God's word still stands. The eldership have the oversight. Now, when you stop and really understand what that's saying, it's something to think about. Particularly there in Hebrews 17 of the 13th chapter, 13:17. He says the elders have the oversight in the sense that they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. The word account is a financial term usually in that we have to be able to give an account for how we have used our monies or how we've used anything at the end of a month in a business sense. This says the elders have the responsibility to oversee our souls and to watch for our souls as they that must give an account. I consider the preaching of the gospel a very serious responsibility. When I'm preaching God's word, I have the responsibility of being sure that the truth is presented to an audience like this, but the elders have an even greater responsibility than I do. You see, they not only have the oversight of the preaching or the teaching, but of everything that has to do with our souls. A part of that is the feeding of the flock. In at least two of the passages we read. And you see, our elders have the responsibility to see that the truth is preached in the right way from this pulpit and in our classes. And if I or anybody else stood here and preached something that was not right, they have the responsibility to deal with that. And not only that, they need to give guidance so that God's word is taught in its fullness and with the proper balance. It's a great responsibility. They have the oversight of us. There is a sense in which I consider myself working alongside our elders in the work of the church as a preacher of the gospel, but in the true sense, I'm under the elders just like you. They have the responsibility for my soul just like they have the responsibility for every soul that's in this congregation. They have the oversight of watching for my soul. And that's one of the reasons that our elders now, and I believe this is an excellent idea, are trying to meet with and talk with every person that desires to place membership here, to know that person up front, to know the talents of the person, and to know how the person can fit in and what their responsibility of elders is as far as the leadership and the guidance of that specific soul. And I applaud our elders for doing that. I think it's just good common sense as well as fitting into the Word of God. Our elders have the oversight of our souls. And then he says in the fourth place here, they admonish you. It may be that this is an area that we really need to underscore. Some homes could be saved, perhaps, if there could be admonishing done more quickly. And perhaps some souls could be saved and some heartaches avoided if we could have the proper admonishing more quickly. And this is not something that's easy for our elders. I think all of us look at that situation wherever we are in life, and we have problems drawing a line between interfering and showing an interest. Even as parents, sometimes we have that decision. How far can I go? I don't want to interfere too much, and yet I'm interested in the welfare of the child, or a husband or wife, as the case may be. If our elders are going to watch and oversee to give an account for our souls, doesn't that in and of itself underscore this idea of the need of admonishing? If they see me begin to become involved in something that's questionable, wouldn't it be better for them to come to me with the right attitude as the ones who oversee my soul and talk to me about it and try to turn me around in the right direction before I get so far that it's almost impossible to turn me around, or at least to turn me around without some serious heartaches? Our elders labor among us and over us, and they are to admonish us. And folks, that didn't come out of some man's handbook on an eldership. That came directly out of the Word of God in just one verse. It's amazing how much God can say in one verse. Now let's go to the other side of it for a moment. He says that we as members are to do two things, particularly in these two verses. We are to know them and we are to esteem them. We are to know them and we are to esteem them. I've known of instances in the church where they were talking about the elders and someone says, "Who are the elders?" Didn't even know who they were. That ought not to be. We are to know our elders. Let me suggest to you, in the first place, that means we need to know what an eldership is. We need to understand God's plan of organization, that He has placed an eldership, and I use that to emphasize the plurality of it, to be the leaders within the local congregation and the deacons to serve under them, ministers to preach, and all of us to be ministers in the sense of service. We need to know that. We need to know how God set up the plan and how He wants it done. But then in addition to that, we need to know our elders personally. We need to know who they are. We need to know that they're men. They're not perfect. And even they will make mistakes because they're men, but we need to know them, to know who they are and to know what they do and to realize their work. I hope that I never serve in a congregation under an eldership without every elder being my friend. It's unusual for a week to pass without Judy and me having the opportunity to go out to eat with some of our elders and their wives. When I go to the Lions Club on Monday nights, there are about four of our elders, or three, I guess now, the present elders that are members of that Lions Club. When I'm involved in the community and some other activities, I'm associated with others of our elders. I see these men working. I see these men on a daily basis. I get to know them, and I'm thankful for each one of them as a friend. And I believe each member needs to do that as much as possible. You may not have as many opportunities as I do, necessarily because of my work. I'm going to be associated with the elders on a day-to-day basis more than most of you. I realize that. But I believe each one of us needs to put forth an effort. If you ever invited one of the elders into your home, ever invited one of them to go with you somewhere to eat, somehow or other I get back to this eating on most of these points. What have you done to learn the elders? I remember a couple years ago, and I think Mike has this planned again, where the youth group adopted an elder for a week. A group of the young people just sort of adopted an elder and his wife, and they did things for that elder and his wife throughout the week. Folks, we need more of this. We need to know these men to where we can laugh with them and we can shed tears with them if we need to, and we can talk with them and we count them as our friends. I think that's involved in knowing them. And also we need to know their work. We need to know their sacrifices. We need to appreciate them. And then he says, we need to esteem them. Hold our elders in high regard. Not put them above where they should be. Even Peter emphasized that on occasions. Don't bow yourself down before me, he said. But we need to esteem our elders. That means we need to hold them in our hearts in a high place and pray for them and appreciate them. I believe in the second place, it means we need to praise them. Not flattery, but true praise. How long has it been since you said to one of our elders, we appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate the love that you have for our souls. We're thankful for the time and effort that you put into the work of the church. If we're not careful, we just sort of take them for granted. They're here, we see them, we know they're there. Let's esteem them. And then in the third place, we need to esteem our elders by trusting them completely. We're told not to receive an accusation against an elder except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Paul's talking to Timothy. Yet sometimes if we're not careful, we not only receive an accusation but report it and broadcast it without any foundation. I appreciate the way our eldership communicates with this congregation, and I continue to encourage that. I believe it's important. But folks, there are times that our elders must make decisions based on facts that they have that you and I don't have. Sometimes there are decisions that have to be made where there are confidential matters involved. And a man's not worthy to be an elder unless he knows how to deal with confidential matters. And so a decision is made where the elders may have many facts that you and I don't know about. And sometimes we may not understand every decision that's made. But if we know our elders and esteem them as we should, we're going to trust them to be men of God as a group who will take the facts in light of God's word and make the decision that is first right with God and secondly best for all of us. And what might be best for me might not be what's best for all of us on some occasions. We need to esteem our elders with trust. You know, there are some times that I make a decision that Judy doesn't especially agree with. But there are times, especially in the work of the church, that I have some facts that she doesn't have. And sometimes there are facts that I can't share with her, even though she's my wife, because I believe in confidentiality. And I cannot tell her some of the things that I know. And sometimes there are things I don't tell her for her own protection. It's much easier when you call her and ask her about something if she says, I don't know, and she doesn't know. And she better not say, I don't know, unless she doesn't know. And that's the way it is with our elders. They have a responsibility to make the decision on anything that has to do with the oversight of our souls that's right in the sight of God and best for all of us. And may God help me to trust them explicitly unless I have facts that would say otherwise, and even in that case, to be willing to go to them and to talk to them in the right way. And then we need to esteem our elders to follow them. Without fellowship, there can be no leadership. We need to have the kind of trust in our elders, and as we select other men, we need to select men like this that we can have that kind of trust, that we believe that if they lead us to the edge of a bluff, that that's what's needed at that point. And that we're ready to follow them. To follow them with the commitment of our monies and our talents and our time and our lives. Folks, I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And I believe that's what he's saying here when he says to know them and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Again, it's amazing how much God can put in one verse. Esteem them in love for their work's sake very highly. And I think it not by accident that the next statement is, and be at peace among yourselves. When we do things God's way, with the appropriate eldership leading and the appropriate following of the members, with love in every direction and God's word respected in every direction, be at peace among yourselves. I don't believe there's anywhere, even in the Word of God, and certainly nowhere else, that as much is said in just a few words as in these two verses dealing with the subject before us. The elders are to labor among with the oversight and admonish. And the members are to know and to esteem. And we can have a peaceful working in the Lord's kingdom when that takes place. Now, where do you fit in? Most of us that are here today fit in that we need to be the right kind of followers. If you're not in Christ, you're not under the oversight of the elders. You need to be in Christ and under their oversight and have the benefit of their watching for your soul. If you are a part of the congregation and you've been unfaithful in negligence or in any way, you need to get your life right. And that's what the elders would admonish you to do, to make your life right with Christ. And so from your standpoint, if you're not a faithful Christian today, the best thing you can do, even relative to the subject before us, is to obey Jesus Christ as together we stand and sing.
I know eternal life.